la 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 la. I represent Benin people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break till it grieve me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Inside Inner City that premieres every Friday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge or Scroogey, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. Our telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232. 325-4316 and 325-4259. You could also text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. I would pay more attention to the text messages. Sometimes I get some messages, but well, I'm so busy discussing the topics that it'd be so interesting with some of the intelligent callers that do call in and give their point of view on many of the topics we have. And they are very sociable, you know, where you could have a conversation of the people that calls in on the show. So I really appreciate that we get along quite well. Today's show, you know, a lot has happened. We just had the U.S. independence. We had our 53rd Independence Day a few days ago. And leading up to that, you know, we had a lot of tragedy in the country. We lost 5 young expired young persons to a traffic accident, and a few others were also injured in that accident. We had a plane in Honduras that bent down and claimed the lives of 10 individuals. You know, and now, as a country, a question was asked a few days ago, and we got a response from one of our leaders in the country, who I highly respect for the position he holds, for the longevity he has held his position. I know he's a statesperson, and sometimes being a statesperson, you know, you tend to forget, and I could be wrong from my assumption. This is just my assumption of individuals. And this is nothing to attack no one's character. It's just based on sometimes the comments people make, I would respond to it in kind because, you know, I have my little perspective as well. But their personal life don't really concern me. Only if they hold a high position in the country and they violate it. And it's only if they do something particularly wrong, not their whole career, but what they do wrong, and if it's in the news on the media, I would have a discussion on it as well on the show, based on when I hear it or read it. So we have leaders in the country who, you know, they swear to the Bible, they swear to God, and, you know, they swear to other entities as well. But I think a lot of people, you know, have their own belief, and you can't throw your belief on any and everyone in the country. We say the Bahamas is a Christian nation, you know, but many people in the country themselves are not Christian. Some people live different lives, you know. They don't believe in God, they don't believe in Jesus, okay? Some people believe that just, you know, the great buying on, you know, that they only come here for a minute, and when they go, that's it. You know, there's no judgment, you know. Who is me to pass judgment on them? You know, the only thing I could do is believe in what I believe in based on my experience and what I've experienced, where I know there's a God. You know, I really don't know what his name is. I mean, people call him Jesus. People say Yahweh, Yahshua. I mean, God is Yahweh. And then Yahshua is Jesus Christ in a different language than in the English language. We get him as Jesus. And then in some other countries, we get him named as different names. And then some people praise Thor and Odin. You know, some people praise, you know, whatever they praise, but I'm just saying. But we all know what's right and wrong. And some people, you know, don't have no ties to God when they speak. And I'm only giving my opinion. So just recently, I like to read comments. And that's what I'm good at, you know, before I talk. So if I'm correct, after these tragedies, you know, very serious tragedies that happen in our country, especially the car accident, I'll just comment on that real quick. When we look at it, you know, what do we say? You know, who was wrong? What went wrong? Who to blame? You know, maybe it's all kind of factors that played a role in the accident with the kids. For example, I feel that wise kids are in school, you know, we have community centers and we have educators. I feel that we should educate our kids, you know, on like swimming. We should educate them on sex. We should educate them also on driving and, you know, the risk of driving, the responsibility of driving. Same way we teach them the responsibility of sex, how it causes pregnancy and makes your life a living hell if you don't have no future plan with you and your poison of interest. I think we need to educate. For instance, you know, drinking and driving is very dangerous. We have to teach our kids that, you know, if you do go to drink, make sure that you have a designated driver. And this has to be programmed in their head. We have to make sure that they have the proper driver's license and et cetera. We have to make sure, let them know that you're 18, 19, and you might not want to listen to me when I say drive slow. Drive with a designated driver, and persons who are in cars with persons who are driving, driving bad, as we say, running the red light and over the speed limit. I think you should take your life serious. You should not be afraid to open your mouth and just say, hey, excuse me, Masha, you know, I think you need to slow down a little bit. You know, some people are afraid to tell a designated driver, like, hey, like, you're doing foolish. You just run the red. Like, hold on, man. We just grace from God us now. You know, you're on the wrong side of the road. You know, people are afraid to tell the person who, especially if there's a passenger, they're afraid to talk to the driver. I've had this experience many times. A lot of people are just afraid to talk to the driver. So there's nothing wrong with talking to the driver. And if you don't want to listen, he or she don't want to listen, well, tell them, look, here, let stop this car and let me out, because people would get offended. People say, man, you're telling me how to drive. Man, I could drive that time. You saved them from getting in an accident. But today's society, when you're giving people good advice, you know, people reject that, you know? They don't want to hear that, you know? When you're telling them something positive, they don't want to hear that, you know? It's like, people got a feel for themselves. So I'm saying to those, you know, be able to say to a friend, you know, hey, you're driving dangerous. Let me get the steering wheel. You know, all of us drunk, you know. Let's call a cousin. Let's call a friend or the one who's sober. Let's let he or she drive us home, you know. Because when you're intoxicated, you're going to do stupid stuff. And we all were young, you know. Because when I look at the age, you know, accidents happen, right? Some are preventable, but we have to educate. You know, we have to educate our kids, like I say, in primary school, junior high school, and throughout their lives, so that they'd have the information. They'd see some prime example of accident happen where people like themselves had these previous experience. Now they can look at the accidents that happened in the past and say, hey, wow, let me not drive drunk. Let me have a designated driver. Let me call somebody to come pick us up, you know, and carry us where we need to go. Each and every one of us, because driving, especially at the age, you know, you're with girls, you know, all kind of stuff going on, you know, girls rubbing up your head, you know, you never know what's going on, you know, and you kind of get relaxed, you speed a little bit, the road is wet, pothole in the road, you know, try to avoid it or you hit it, you know, like what happened a few days ago, and then you end up slamming into a tree and, you know, lives lost. And who to blame? There's a lot of factors playing it. The lighting on the road is really bad. We had potholes in the street, so that's the Ministry of Public Works' fault as well. Like I said before last week, according to the information, the mom was the one who ran the ST. So the ST company makes sure that when you come to rent their ST or their vehicle, they tell you bring your driver's license and you're the only one supposed to be driving this ST. But as Bahamians, like I say, we play an important role in our destructions. So that's why rules and regulations are in place, so we could protect ourselves from ourselves. Because, you know, we don't mean nothing bad, you know. You know, that's your kid and you know, you want them to have fun. You know that you know the girls, you know, as notice they graduate and they're gonna party. So, you know, you wanna be able to, you know, let them ride around, but you as a mother don't want to drive the car, you know, because, you know, you tired and that's a bunch of kids. You don't want to be with kids and et cetera. So, you know, you rent it and then you give it to them. But she told them to drive safe. But, you know, talking to a 19-year-old, 21-year-old, 18-year-old, you tell them that, and, you know, that really goes into one ass and goes to the next because they're young and they're going to drink. You know, they're going to party and they're going to lose it. You know, they're going to get loose. All of us, Vietnamese people, all of us, have been the age, and I guess the majority of us done the same thing. You know, we have drank around that age. So, you know, we really can't be so judgmental. So I was very impressed with and one of the moms, you know, she said she has no anger towards, you know, the driver, you know, because she understand, like she said, mother of the fifth victim says mistakes happen as 19-year-old sent to be charged over 5 deaths, you know. Let me just read what you said quick. The Shirley Street crash claimed the life on Saturday, leaving one mother clinging to forgiveness after her 19-year-old son died in hospital, while another demand accountability after spending 3 agonizing days in Canada trying to confirm her was alive or dead. You know, one mother saying that, you know, she, you know, understand mistakes happen, you know, and one mother wants justice, you know. So we can't blame that one, you know, because people have their own opinion there, and people feel that, you know, that the one who's driving is responsible. You know, like I say, it was a bunch of mistakes happen. All we have to do now is put measures in place. ST companies now have to say to people who rent the car that, if you're gonna let someone else drive this car, they're gonna have to be either put their driver's license along with that in order for this vehicle to be driven. Other than that, you yourself could be charged as the person who ran the ST and give the ST to somebody who doesn't have a driver's license, or someone who has a driver's license but is not the one who ran the ST. And I think that's some of the fault we have. And the love we have for our kids sometimes, you know, where we forget about the law, and we just think that everything is going to be okay. But accident happened. Like I say, some are preventable, you know, if we really look at it, and we could fix it. Education, you know, like I say, tell our kids about driving, the risk of driving drunk, the risk of speeding, you know, why you should drive at a certain speed limit. Our streets as well in Nassau, New Providence need to have speed signs up, you know. Every corner should have street signs up, speed limit. I see out west, when you're going for Bahama, they have these nice, not red lights, but a sign. It's like a little sign, but it shows you exactly how fast to go. And it looks like a simple sign. The community is destructive in any city community. What I mean destructive is that when you put things down, some old nut who either freaking out or just have no value for progress, meaning community development, where we bring the latest technology in the community, like that speed limiting. Obama will tell you if you're making 35, 45, and tell you to slow down. you know, and we need those kind of stuff on our roads, you know, so that when you know you're going over a speed limit, you see it, you know, you like see it just speed limit. We also need a lot of speed cops, you know, to be functional late at night as well. You know, we have a lot of persons driving motorbike without helmets and just driving up and down the road, no insurance and stuff like that. So there's a lot we have to look into, you know, but a lot of issues we have when it comes to driving in the Bahamas, you know. So that was the one tragedy before I mention and talk about what the Honorable Fred Mitchell was talking about. Other thing is the plane crash. I just want to get through it real quick. My condolences again to families of the victims, you know. I know what they're going through, you know. I've lost a lot of loved ones, so I know how people feel right now. Some people just lost. You could be talking to them, and, you know, they're hearing you, but they're not really listening. You know, hard to describe. When you look at that scenario about the accident, some things are preventable. You know, hackers out there who qualified, unqualified, out there, you know, hacking on planes, just like the when you go around the hospital and stuff like that. You know, we don't know if the planes themselves was getting regular checkup. We don't know the maintenance problem. We saw some of the aircraft, according to the newspaper, and the information a lot of us received, the airline, Flamingo, was grounded previously, before that. I think a few years ago, I think they said a few years back. And besides that, they have had a lot of mechanical issues in the past years concerning these individual planes. And those planes are really old. The question should be asked is, after all of these mechanical problems occur with these planes, what did the proper authorities did to try to correct the problem? And who, after proper investigation, did further check up to make sure that the planes were properly maintained, make sure that the pilots themselves, you know, are regulated pilots to fly to the family island, and et cetera. So, like I said, you know, when you really look at it, I think that, yeah, the way we're looking at it, I think that it's a high up. I think that when you see persons can pass an inspection when there are mechanical problems with aircraft, especially, you know, you don't know who owns the company, you don't know who's connected. It could be some big-time politician or some big-time businessman or someone connected to the politician. Well, it ain't too far, you know, from that, you know, because being able to get certified again to fly and charter the planes again, whether hawking or not, you know, it's a very serious thing in the country. And again, I think it's like political interference, you know. What I mean is this. There are things that politics have affected us that we don't realize. We would use positions to give justification that something wrong, you know, that the plane ain't fit, you know, pass inspection. Yeah, the emergency couldn't be emergency brakes couldn't be working, but you have someone who you could give a couple dollars to, or you have someone there who can give the approval when you know that it's not properly fit to be flying in the air, and also the pilot is not a certified pilot. And if these planes are not properly maintained, you know, you never know what could happen. They could be overweight. And who's checking these stuff, you know, the plane is overweight and all these stuff, you know, these things we need to ask. And we could be bypassing all of these things and allowing unregulated practices cost the lives of so many behemoths. Because, like I say, someone's going to approve you, someone's going to pass you. So it could go deep, you could go deep for the certification to pass for these planes to be in there. I heard former Minister Diaglo saying that, you know, the hawking business, you know, has not been properly dealt with. You know, we had the Free National Movement and the PLP movement, PLP government, and and just hopping on the boat, administration aviation, hawking was going on there. Pilots who don't have a pilot's license were allowed to fly, you know, just for the sake of a dollar. And some of these planes are unworthy to be flying in the first place. You know, we have to give the Bahamian people their best service. Now, because of a tragic incident, we have to look at all aviation when it comes to flights from the Family Island to make sure that everything is regulated. You know, so my condolences to the family who lost their lives. But, you know, most importantly, going back again when I talked earlier, I mentioned the fact that there is a God, and this is how I know there's a God. One of the gentlemen who also possibly in that accident, Andres, you know, for 2 hours they said that he lived after the plane crash. They said that he was able to run away from the wreckage, and one of his friends found him, I think, a little further away from the plane crash. I don't know how far he wandered. He's badly burned. And his friend was able to talk to him and comfort him, give him some clothes. You know, you said that the young gentleman was completely burnt without recognition, meaning that all of his skin was practically off his body. You know, I can imagine the excruciating pain he was in, you know. And his friend comforted him, and he was able to pray and talk to God. Now, here's to all the people out there who don't believe in God, right? Why would a young gentleman in so much pain, and his friend saw him, that they would decide to pray? Why did he decide to pray? Because he was in and out of consciousness. Even though the pain was overwhelming, the Father says that he would not give you all the pain that you cannot take. That means he would take the pain away, you know. And that young gentleman, you know, he, even though he passed away, he had a chance to give his life to God. And he was able to see the other side. See, what people don't understand is that when you see things like this, right, where you read the story, but pay attention to the small details, you know, there's something that good came out of this. At the end of the day, the young man talked to God, and he sent us a message. His friend sent us a message as well. When everything else failed, when man failed, when the hospital failed, when the politician failed, when the pastor failed, when your mother failed, when your daddy failed, when your sister failed, when your brother failed, when everything else failed, put your trust in God. And he came through big time. Because when I listened to the story, he said after that, you know, he was able to talk to his parents, you know, talk to his father. And then after that, you know, he, you know, when they reached to him within a 2 hour period, he was able to say a word or two to his father and brother. And then he passed away. But it's sad, but I understand something as well. You know, he gave his life to Christ, you know, so he is accepted in the afterlife. So this is a message for all of us, you know. You never know the day or time when the angel of death coming for you. You understand? And a message was sent to us. And it goes, and this was sent to us. Just like everyone being and giving their sympathy to the family and the friends of the plane crash victim at the memorial for the young kids in the Shirley Street car crash. Do you see how everyone sitting on there? I mean, you look at the newspaper and humble. You know, like that makes us think. You know, something tragic gotta happen for us to think. You know, but when you're in a church, you know, it's a different world. And then you have time to think and you look and you know that you reflect. For that short period of time, you know, you reflect and you know there's a God. you know. But for the gentleman, you know, who passed away in Andres, you know, I think he gave his life to God. I think he was accepted, and all his pain was taken away. You know, tragically, he lost his life. But who is me and you to judge? And they're an example for us to fix our aviation problem in the country, because the almighty dollar, you know, the love of money, the root of all evil is money. But the love of money is the root of all evil, because it's what you would do for money, you know. And it also claimed the life of the pilot, you know. So we have the shape in the Bahamas. So let me get to the topic now. And again, my condolences to all of the victims, the plane crash, and also the car crash victim, and also those who were families who were affected by the latest set of murders in the country as well, you know. Sad day in our country. And we're going to have to continue to work to try and fix this country. But everything is about, everything is spiritual in this country. So anyone is talking anything other than saying that, you know, what has happened to the Bahamas, has God leaving the Bahamas? You know, every country has tragedy, you know, plane crash, boating accident, people drown and stuff like that. You know, it's a common occurrence around the world. But there's things like that are happening on a random basis when it makes you think for those who know God. And we start to question ourselves and say, wow, this is because we did this and we turned our back on God. But that is true as well, you know. For us who know it and seeing what's going on in the country, we can say with our own, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is leaving the Bahamas. And if we don't try to redeem ourselves, we're going to end up in a country with all kind of tragedies that we can't even understand. That's why he talk about the blood be highest, the horse bridle. The innocent will suffer for the guilty, you know? And if we continue in this space and we don't go back to God and stop believing in the almighty dollar, we're going to continue to go down this spiral where we can't fix nothing in this country. You see how hot the sun gets in the day? You see how hot the sun is? This is the hottest in the history of the country. So you can't say, you know, things ain't changing. Things changing, man. So anyway, we had a comment made by an individual, Fred Mitchell, Honorable Fred Mitchell, the minister of, I get his name right, man, Foreign Affairs. And he responded to a member of parliament or someone said something, said that, you know, these tragedies that are happening in the country, you know, that, you know, these happen. This is Mr. Mitchell saying this now, you know. This is his opinion on how he feel. So that's his opinion. So, you know, he was responding, you know, people were saying because the car accident and the electricity getting struck with lightning. And Miss Lady, the MP in charge of Jeanette Colby Davis, she's in charge of BPL. And she stated that, you know, we are not going to have no power outage. And then soon she speak, you know, everyone got to sweat it out and everyone lose a lot of their food in their fridge and all kind of stuff. So, you know, when people start saying there's a curse on the Bahamas, and Mr. Mitchell, you know, he responded by saying that every, you know, these things happen in the country, you know, all countries, and that it's not no curse on the country, you know. But honestly, you know, he could be right in what he's saying. I don't know if he's a man of God or believe in God. I don't know. I can't judge him, but I know I only can judge him by his words. He seems to be a man. He's not convinced that there is a God. I think he just believes in politics, and I believe that man is God, and whatever the situation. Maybe it's true. I don't know. His belief could be the right belief, but I don't know. So I'm just giving my opinion. I just listened to him, you know. He was quite content on how he said it, you know. Very polite on how he said it, you know. And I look at him, I say, boy, we only know. Just a spirituality world, you know. And that's his opinion. And he said that, you know, the Bahamas is not, you know, crazy. People believe because the election was bought out. and people here are doing voodoo, and some people, other nation here, doing some type of other witchcraft in the country, you know, feel that, you know, the Bahamas is losing its way. Maybe it is, you know, because we're getting the signs, you know. You know, the signs are there, you know, it's broad as day. You know, accidents do happen, but, you know, these tragedies are happening, you know, because of slackness, and slackness is because, you know, it goes again, the corruption. And this when the father says that he would actually, you destroy yourself within, means that you could be a strong nation economy-wise and, you know, one of the richest and whatever, but your country would be destroyed within, means it would melt inside. You'd have problems with your hospital, you'd have problems with your prison, you'd have problems with your health of the nation, you know. There'd be, like, no more guardian angel helping and protecting people, you know. These things are real, you know, when the blessing of the Lord lives. So anyway, he stated that, you know. And, you know, when he said that, you know, I just said, you know, he probably is not a man of God and he don't believe in that, you know. And because he want to defend the government, I believe the government is his God, you know. And he don't believe in all that, you know. He believe in his world, you know. And for us who believe these things, this does not matter. So he is trying to convince us that these things do occur. But if you look what these things lead up to, like I said, these incidents could be prevented, slowed down tremendously, and it's because of slackness and corruption at the government watch. No one particular group to blame, you know. Like I said, the mother who ran the car and gave it to her son, played a role, the porter on the road, the porthole in the road is responsibility to the ministry. The porthole works with lighting. The XF speeding is the young guy who was intoxicated and his friends who were there also with him. You know, I don't know if they were telling them to drive with caution or to slow down. So there's a lot of faculties that played in the accidents that happened in our country. But like I say, you know, we have incidents of God, you know. So if Mr. Mitchell says that, I could use the example of when the little guy, you know, ran from the plane and his friend found him and then them two started. So what's that, Mr. Mitchell? That's spiritual. He had to pray, you know, he had to pray to the Almighty. He ain't pray to no devil. He ain't pray to no man. He ain't pray to the prime minister. You hear they say? He prayed to God. He ain't prayed to Queen Elizabeth, Michael Jordan. He ain't prayed to the boss. He ain't prayed to no man, you know. He prayed to an invisible man who he know nothing, who he never saw. You understand? So who's more powerful? And then just a reminder, you know, I was on Mr. Thompson's show. I make a little appearance on Mr. Thompson's show now and again. Because, you know, he's a senior man. He's a states person. And I just love to have conversation with him. And then the next prime example is when we had an accident again with the plane. Sidney Cawley, you remember him? He was a former member of parliament. I think he's ambassador now. I think his family member were killed on the airport road when the truck they were using to light up the runway, when there was no proper lighting on the runway on the family island. And the plane, I think, crashed and caught fire. And the only thing that left in the truck, everything else burned, was the Bible. It was in a glove compartment, and that was the only thing that did not get burned. So again, it shows you that there's a God, and the Bible is fire. If you go online, you could see and you look at the story with the plane crash. I can't remember what island it was on, but reading the newspaper and listening to the news, they said that, you know, when the fire was extinguished, and when the firefighters, you know, went through the truck, that the only thing that was left untouched was the Bible. So the word is fire. So again, you know, I think that, you know, we have gone away from God. Whether you believe there's a God or not, you know, and I think that if we don't try to find our way back, you know, we're in serious trouble. I'm going to play the clip, and then we're going to go from there.
of the victims. Frank Curry, thanks much. A 59-year-old man is dead. A suspect is in custody and police hunting for others after a deadly hit-and-run erupted into a police-involved shooting Sunday morning. Police say shortly before 8 a.m., two off-duty officers saw a silver Suzuki Swift fatally struck a man lying on Carmichael Road and immediately gave chase during the pursuit through Excellence Estates. Police say one of the vehicle's occupants opened fire on the officers, sparking an exchange of gunfire. The pursuit culminated in the Somerset subdivision, where the suspects abandoned the vehicle and fled into nearby bushes. One suspect, who suffered a gunshot wound to the lower back, was apprehended and remains in stable condition under police guard. The 59-year-old victim died from injuries while the search continues for the remaining suspect or suspects.
Okay, I think we played the wrong clip. That's supposed to be the second one, but doesn't matter. I'm going to comment on it. Okay, I think we have the one with the Ministry of Attorney General. All right, let's play the one now. In response to this, I just want people to listen to that just now, and I'm going to respond to that. Then this is the Attorney General when it comes to witness protection. Okay, because this individual this individual who, in that previous matter that was aired just now, they are suspects they are the suspects in the hit and run what the officers saw, but also one of the suspects was going to court a month from now to his trial for robbing the same individual that he's now charged before the courts with. And we want to talk about that as well, because you need to understand this and show you that people have demon, and we might not say it's spiritual. But I just want you guys to listen to the Attorney General Wayne Monroe speak on the matter.
Attorney General Wayne Monroe is responding to claims that businessman James Mackey was fatally struck by the man accused of robbing him just weeks before he was scheduled to testify in court. The husband and father was found with severe lacerations and other injuries to his upper body just 2 days after celebrating his 59th birthday on Independence Day. Monroe was asked about measures to protect witnesses and victims in court cases.
Yes, there's a witness protection statute, and witness protection is a part of the system. So if somebody feels threatened, they can go to the police, they make a report, and the police will address it.
If an individual feels they are being threatened by another person, they have the option to report the matter to the police for further investigation and assistance.
As I say, there's a regime. If you feel threatened, you can go to the police. Let's assume, for instance, that you have 400 outstanding cases in which each one has a witness. You really not suggesting that you have witness protection for 400 people. So the distinction is, if you feel threatened, you report it to the police. Sometimes it will lead to a revocation of bail, depending on why you feel threatened.
He asserted the witness protection program is effective because it encompasses a broad range of measures designed to provide support and protection to individuals who may be at risk due to their involvement in criminal cases.
As far as I'm aware, there have been a number of cases where people have asked for it, and witness protection has ranged from just providing additional patrols to taking people from where they live and housing them separately. There was one occasion where somebody was in witness protection and decided he didn't want to be in witness protection anymore. Witness protection is something asked for by the individual themselves.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Arnika Bannister.
Yeah, that's the Attorney General, Wayne Monroe. You know, he's also a former member of parliament. He was former Minister of National Security, and he's former member of parliament for the Camport area. He talking on the witness protection, and what he's talking about when he say witness protection. If you listen to one of the recent murders that happened, you could see what's his name now? Incident happened where a gentleman was knocked down, right? And this was why this was happening. Some officers who probably were on, they were off duty probably, you know, just moving around, probably come from an event. They were able to see the altercation where someone was knocked by a vehicle and they sped off. And officers are never off. So these two officers, I guess, gave chase, called headquarters, or called an air station. After they saw a bystander being knocked down, they gave chase. They tried to pull the drivers over. The drivers, them, you know, decided to stop and open fire at the officers. The officers returning fire. Guys, them jumped back in the car. They sped off again, chased again. They ran into our community, not so far away. Jumped out of the car, exchanged the gunfire again. These two officers gave chase. These guys ran in the bush, and one was shot in their back during the search by responding officers. They were able to search the area, and they were able to apprehend a suspect who was later determined to be a person of interest of the deceased, not knowing that the guy deceased. Further investigation led officers to the information that this individual was going to court next month for the deceased. And as reported, it seems that these individuals were so determined that he carried his individual back to the same spot that the deceased apprehended him during an armed robbery attempt that sent him to jail. So that means the deceased was able to apprehend him, I think, for a Rolex watch stolen from him. I don't understand. It could be more details. I don't know if they had a relationship. I don't know if he broke in his home, put a gun on this person, or whatever the situation is. But reading some of the comments made online, it was stating that, you know, like, the deceased was able to apprehend the suspect and hold him till police came. This individual was charged with armed robbery. I don't know if he charged him. And then he was sent to jail on this previous matter. And now this is the same individual that is now being investigated for the murder of the complainant who was just getting ready to go to court. So the Minister of National Security, he is responding to the fact of people asking for witness protection. And he is stating that witness protection can only be granted if the witness themselves want the witness protection. And, you know, most Bahamians, you know, if you look at some of the previous witness protection, you could see in many cases they felt unsafe and they declined. And if they did, they wanted to go back home. And when they did, you know, it cost them their lives, or they were threatened by persons of interest. Because, you know, if you want to win your case, then you need no witness. And then we look at the situation concerning, you know, the trust of the police at that time, and people had their speculation about the police, you know, because there was a lot of talks on the street, so people didn't want to go in witness protection because they heard a lot of stuff that, in certain cases, that officers themselves were giving information to criminals on the whereabouts of persons who were going to testify. And then, you know, we look at the situation going back to Johnson, who was head of the CID, you know, even though we had no proof. And then this came up, and then it gives us an impression that the witness them and persons who listened on the streets were actually right. And they probably didn't want to go in witness protection. And then the bombers is 21/7. And then again, you know, it's the mindset of individuals who go in prison. You know, I've always said this, you know, guys who do scratch in prison, they get worse, okay? They become like animals, you know, in many cases. And they have to survive up in prison. You know, it's all men up there. and you have to protect yourself, okay, at all times, all right? You can get raped. You could be abused, all right? Means you get taken advantage of. Your belongings that your family or friends or someone send you could get taken from you, and you can't do nothing if you don't have the audacity to stand up and fight for what's yours. So it makes you into a beast. And then you see a lot of violent crimes up there. And then you have to protect yourself. So some things you can't even get yourself involved with. So if there's an inmate who's getting brutalized in prison, you know, prison is mind your own. See, understand? So everyone has their own survival instincts. And if you're not properly connected, you know, you get abused. And so a lot of individuals who go up there, first-time offenders, guys who season, you get rough and tough because you have to defend yourself, you know, stabbings, you know, robbing, raping, you can name it, goes down on there, abuse from the prison officers. There are so much things that goes on in the prison, and then these individuals come back on the streets. I mean, they come back on the streets where they have to struggle, you know, they buy a cigarette, you know, everything they have. So when they come on the streets and they ask you for something, you know, and you don't give it to them that one time, you know, they'd switch on you. And they're very dangerous because they used to prison. They used to being locked down. So going back to prison ain't nothing to them. So that's their mindset. They become like animals. So this individual came out from prison, knowing his case is next month. So he knew that this individual is going to testify against him. I don't know what type of relationship it have. I don't know why he's going back. But he decided, you know, I'm going to get this guy. And according to the report, before this guy was even knocked down, they saying that he was stabbed a few times. And like this individual, they had him in his car. Like they kidnapped him from his house and came to the same spot where he was apprehended by the now deceased. So he actually premeditated this, that, man, I'm going to get this guy. And he's going to come right back to the same spot and kill this individual. Lucky for us and lucky for the deceased and his family that the police was present. And no disrespect to all of the cops who are doing their jobs. Like these two officers, you know, they're doing their job, you know. Me ain't blaming all the police for what's happening in the country, just that so much senior cops are being charged with so many serious offenses in the country that it makes the normal good cop look bad. You know, you can't blame us as the public for what we see when it comes to policing. And there are so many good cops out there, you know, like these two cops who did their job, they you know, they saw this guy, got knocked down, they did their job. We can't dispute that, you know. We can't dispute that, you know. So someone just texted us now and said, Scrooge, what happened on election day plane crash? Oh, yes. Who all survived? So again, we had an X plane crash, which we forgot about. We forget about our Gardner's plane also crashed. So we had a few other plane crash in between there. We even forget about Gardner, because the plane in Gardner crashed as well, but all survived. So even that. So a lot of stuff needs to be examined by aviation. When we look at the background on that plane wasn't even supposed to be up in there in the first place again. So there's a lot we have to look at, you know, and the aviation minister is taking a lot of heat for it, you know. Yeah, and they say, this individual say, they need to bring hanging back. You know, honestly, let me just say this to the general public and the guys in prison, you know. You know, that prison is actually trying people. That prison up there is actually, you know, turning people into demons, you know. And when they come out, you, they prey on innocent lambs, you know. And if you look at some of the cases that we ever had, you would see that, you know, each and every one of the individuals that come into prison come out and do heinous crimes. You know, either a little marker watcher or a little, what are the names? Ariel from Michael Road or the Yabak. You know, many other kids, you know, Cordell Stott with kids from Freeport, you know, people of that background, you know, because, you know, it's spiritually, they are mentally ill, and, you know, they are determined, you know, as far as the retinas protection, you know, It's hard, you know, to go to the police, you know, and then it's hard to leave your family, you know, and then to maintain not being on a witness protection, you know. And now it's only 21/7, and, you know, government could put you on the family island or someplace like that, but, you know, you could go to the commission of police, I guess, request the handgun as well, you know, to protect yourself at all times. I don't know how that's worked, but I see on one or two cases, I think, that they give persons who were under witness protections firearm to protect themselves. I guess anytime they were approached by police officers, they had like a letter or something, you know. I think that would be a good thing, because when you have guys who come with a prison and they're determined to get you, I don't think no police or no one can stop these guys from getting you, because that premeditated. That means the individual is actually plotting on you. That individual is sitting down in prison and saying how they're going to get you. You know, there's nothing you really can do to someone who thinks like that, you know, even with being in witness protection, you know, because that person want to get you. And that's like in this case here. And you get so many other cases like that where people, you know, are afraid for their lives, you know. We had a young girl a few years ago, you know, she reported a matter about her boyfriend, you know, and she wanted to get a relationship, you know, and she reported to the police, you know, and the guy came back, you know, and he killed her and killed himself, you know, in a double murder, you know. He did suicide and he killed her, you know. Next female, you know, she is looking for the same thing, and many others, you know. So the veterans' protection in the country, you know, I know, honestly speaking. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I guess, you know, you have to protect yourself. You know, I don't know if they allow you to. You must be able to carry a dirty gun, you know, just for that individual. Because if somebody really wants to get you, and you go to the police and you see they ain't paying no heed to restraining order, you know, the police is not going to be a 24/7. Then it's going to make you make a bad decision. You know, you're going to have to put a gun on you, buy a gun on you. You know, I don't know if the commissioner or they're going to allow you to have a gun to protect yourself, which I doubt. So even though your intentions is good, your life still is on the line, because if you get catch with a gun and it's illegal, and you say, I get this because this guy threatened me 6-7 times, I went to the police and this guy is determined, and you decided to buy a gun, the law still is not going to be on your side, you know? So it's a messed up stuff, you know? I don't know. But we're in a messed up position we're in right now in this country, you know? Everything is spiritual, and we need to find our way back to God, you know, honestly speaking. All right, we can play the next clip. Let me see what we get there.
Salaries and benefits are laid out in these industrial agreements. We already have an industrial agreement with Beckabo. We are in the final stages of negotiation with the BUT. This is the document that defines what teachers are paid, what the benefits are, what the allowances are, et cetera.
You know, that's the Honorable Minister Chester Cooper, who's now the Minister of Education. And he's talking about, you know, this is a direct response from President of the Teachers Union, Ms. Belinda Wilson, who I highly respect. You know, I don't really like to knock on Belinda. You know, understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, she representing teachers. You know me for a person from the streets. I know how important the teachers was to us as kids growing up, you know. They played a very important role helping develop us as kids, you know. They teach us morals, they teach us right and wrong, you know. They went up and beyond for us, you know. Yeah, I can remember our primary school teacher and stuff like that, you know, Miss Bain, Miss Romming, you know, and et cetera. Miss Sweden, who changed her name to Miss Gardner, you know, even the T.A. Thompson. And basically, I didn't learn that in junior high school. I learned everything in T.A. Thompson from 1980 to 1986. when I went to D.W. Davis, what they was teaching me in the 7th and 8th grade, 9th grade, I already learned in primary school. All right? That's how much they used to train, teach you and train you in the primary school, you know. And in response to the government of the Bahamas saying they're going to bring, how much? I think it's what, 300 Guyanese Guyanese teachers here to the Bahamas to help with the educational problems we have in the country. You know, there's a direct response from Ms. Wilson, you know, and I understand her concern. Now the government is saying they're looking to get 100 more teachers, CRBM teachers also, to go along with the 300 Guyanese teachers that, you know, looking to sign a contract to come back here to the Bahamas. There are many people might be disturbed about it, but I don't think it's not such a bad idea, you know, because we have the Family Islands, you know, a lot of our teachers don't want to go to the Family Islands because the Family Islands is undeveloped. And, you know, teachers don't want to go to these Family Islands to be bought. You know what I mean? There's no structure, you know, so these Guyanese teachers, you know, they're coming from a country, you know, in some parts of the country they cannot go to teach because of the conditions. So that's like a gold mine over here, and then our money is dollar for dollar. So it's about less salary, you know. Even though they'd be getting a good salary, they still wouldn't be getting as much as the Bahamian teachers, because I guess if you look at the dollar for dollar ratio and what the government's going to pay them, you know, they're going to pay them minimum wage. I mean, minimum wage for the teachers who are coming from Guyana. That's how I'm assuming it, because the value of their money back in Guyana is different from the Bahamas and American money, because, you know, our dollar for dollar is like 97, 98 to the U.S., 98 dollars to the U.S., 100. So we're the closest dollar for dollar value. So I'm guessing the government is saying that, you know, if we could get 300 of them here, and we could put them on the Family Islands to deal with the teaching, you know, and then get Bahamian teachers, you know, come back, you know, we had 100 of them here, then that'd make all the Family Islands, you know, like I said, they could go on the Family Islands and help teach on the Family Islands, you know, it'd be a plus to us, plus education is very important. You never know the kind of education they're bringing from their respective country, you know, you never know what you're going to get, you know, they have something to prove. It's like our Filipino nurses and doctors by the Princess Margaret Hospital. You see how good they take care of Bahamian patients there. So it's a plus, you know. I don't think it's a takeaway. And I understand Ms. Belinda Wilson, who's been doing an extremely great job over the years fighting for the rights of teachers in the country. You know, I wouldn't have a question. But it's nothing to be afraid of, Ms. Wilson. I think it's a plus to us, because education is what we need right now. Some of these teachers from Guyana can bring some different way of teaching here that really resonate with the kids, you know, and could really change their mindset and also, you know, change the directory of our education system, you know, and then we want a lot of retired nurses come back. But the government, like Chester Cooper saying, is looking to pay what's owed, back pay to teachers and stuff like that. I think the teachers are the first line of defense. I think the nurses are the first line of defense, you know. I think they are our first line of defense. And we need education right now in the country, honestly speaking, across the board. You know, we need education. We have any more clips there? That's the last one, right? Yeah. You know, one, you know. Someone says they need to bring back hanging for the murderers. You know, you have some very serious guys out there, you know, who are very dangerous, you know. And when they come on the streets, you know, they're going to take the lives of innocent men, you know, in our communities. And, you know, we need to hang murderers. I don't know. I honestly speaking, like I always say this, you know, you hang when we were supposed to hang. You know, for crimes, you know, against kids, you know, pregnant woman, you know, old persons, you know, we always supposed to set an example, you know, if it was not a worthy, if it's not a, how am I going to say it? If it's something that it's despicable and what we don't accept in the Bahamas, you know, like raping an old woman and killing her, or shooting a pregnant woman, you know, or killing somebody for no particular reason, you know. Love crime, probably different, that's a crime of passion. We just have to separate the category of murders in the country, you know, and say that what we are going to hang for. But honestly speaking, you know, I know most people want us to hang, right? But I don't think we're ready to really hang. I know that guys out there who are criminally minded who come into prison, they'd kill you without thinking about it. So they get the advantage. Our system, you know, we have to go through appeal and all that stuff. And then, you know, we have 100 murders per year. You know, it's been slowing down these last 2 years or so. I don't know if we're going to maintain that level. You know, but it could go way lower. So I know. I feel that, you know, hanging one person is not going to change nothing. Especially if we're not going to explain to the general public why this person is getting hanged. You know, I think hanging, if we're going to hang, I think the first thing we should do is educate the public on why this individual is getting hanged. And then we have to show the pictures. We have to show that, okay, this guy here, you know, in a Christian nation, he raped an old woman and he killed her. Now, if we have the DNA and we have all of that proof, you know, and it's left up to the government of the Bahamas, the prime minister. Looking at that case, you know, you have to make the decision. You know, you have to make the decision because, you know, if you don't make the decision, then that lady's spirit is not going to rest. Now, I'm not saying I'm approved of hanging, all right? But I'm saying to you, I look at it from this perspective. That's an old woman. If you could go and rape a old defenseless old woman who done ate some more, who has paid her taxes, who has retired, who isn't bothering nobody, she is a baby. And if this individual could go in and attack her and take her life and rape her, could you imagine what she had been through when this person was trying to and do all those horrible stuff to her, the screaming that she went through, the horror that she went through? So why would you want to let that individual sit up in prison and then stand a chance of coming out one day to do what? To contribute to society. I thought the old woman contributed to society and her life was taken. So an instance like that, I think that your neck should get pulled. You know, simple as that. Premeditated murder, I think your neck should get pulled too. Murders that people set other people up to get killed, I think that, you know, they could get lifetime or they could get a death penalty, you know. Yeah. You know, killing people for no particular reason, you know, should warrant the death penalty, you know. But like I say, I want a one guy. But I'm saying to you, if you're going to do it, let's explain it. Just like we need to use the car accident, the plane crash, to educate our kids and say to them, you know, look at this, yeah, these five beautiful souls, you know, what a bright future. Just like you at the age of 17, 18, 19, 20. Just could happen to you. You know, don't say it can't happen to you. Because when you're talking to young people now, like I say, they don't want to hear that. So show them. You know, show them this could happen, you know. Get your driver's license, drive, but do care and caution, you know. Same thing with the aviation department. You know, you balance and you put the checks and balances in places. We need the examples in the country. The problem is we don't use examples. We just continue to go by law and then we don't want to talk about the cases. And we tend to forget, you know. So we have to use examples on how we can educate our kids. Education comes in many different forms, you know. And we have to educate, you know. We just have to educate, you know, different forms. No. You got a caller? Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Hey, good night, Gino.
Good night to you.
I heard you say something, so I had to call.
Go ahead.
And if I heard correctly, I know you mentioned the life of a pregnant woman and children, but I've yet to hear you say anything about a man's life, and I'm wondering why men's life is always being looked at less than, like, it don't matter. Yeah. You know, anybody get murdered should be taken seriously, because that person can't come back. Once they get killed, they can't come back. So there's no equal value for that life.
Mm.
And we see that from the Bible.
Yes, sir.
You know?
I listen and
like a case like this,
yes,
this should definitely be a hang. So yeah. This person now impede a judicial system process.
Yes.
And he premeditated and murdered this individual. This individual, who probably is a father, he's a son, an uncle, a brother. You know, he's gone. He can't come back.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you.
You know, so the person that just needs to be hanged. And we, as a people, we cry for stuff when it comes to politics. But a thing like this, this is what we need to cry and fight against.
I agree with you, sir. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. That's my 2 cents on that.
Okay. Thank you very much. You know, and I appreciate that. But if you listen earlier, I was also mentioning it as well, you know. Anyone, like, take a hit, you know, and take someone's life innocently, I think your life should be forfeit as well. And the gentleman made a good point as well when he stated the fact that, you know, this individual, he stopped the judicial system, he stopped justice, and he intentionally took the life of this individual. So what, we're just going to give him prison time? That's it? You know? It's crazy. You know? So there's tens that, you know, cases like the caller stated just now that we could forefront if we want that. But like I say, hanging one or two person isn't going to make a difference. And I always going to say this. Like I say, I'm not for hanging, but I'm with the system. You know, if the Bahamas want to, I'm with it in certain cases. Old poisons, like the gentleman say, killing innocent people, I'm all for it. Premeditated, I'm all for it. Like I say, I don't want to see it happen. Right? Listen to me, what I say. For me personally, because I know that, you know, what it would take, right? I know what it would take to really change the mindset. Like I say, 10, 20 people at a time. All those who have these previous cases like that, killing pregnant women or killing innocent persons, invasion people's house, raping and killing all persons, that's the worst. They should be on record. And whenever, whoever government decides, you pop all in that one time, and then you want to change the nation. For each one of those individuals who get a neck pop, you help them to all the schools, the junior high school, the senior high school, and you have a special day, and you say, these are the souls of the Bahamas, and we love our Bahamas, but they have done some treasonous things against citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, which they are part of. They did this, and they did that, and we have all the proof, the DNA, and this, and this is the reason. We don't want to do it as a country, but anyone in this country who do this type of heinous crime, and we do the investigation, okay, and we find you responsible for this crime, you get your appeal, right? A one or two, we could do it in a timely fashion. And then on that day, we announce it to the general public. We hold a public holiday, because see, if you really want to change the mindset of people, let them see that you're serious with it. All the cases that people violate behemoths, the most heinous set of crimes, right? And you go do it. And then you'll see a change, you know, because you'll see exactly what these individuals do that are not godly, you know. That's all I have to say on it, you know. Because, you know, like I say, a guy coming to the prison is very dangerous. People, I can tell you this now. I've been around, all right, let me just, when people hear me talking, right, people don't understand the type of power I had when I was on the streets. same type of power as these guys had in the streets, who were the big time drug dealers. I had more power than those guys when we saw in the streets, okay? And the kind of guys who were around me, you know, some of the most roughest and dangerous set of people in the history of Nassau, okay? And I study these individuals, and when I come on this radio, I'm trying my best to explain to you guys that what you're up against, okay? A guy who come out of prison during 15, 20 years is a dangerous individual. I don't think he's afraid to lose his life, okay? Because he's not afraid to go to jail, okay? Because what jailers teach him is about survival, all right? So he been surviving on the devil, 10, 15, and he come out jail. It's just like, you have a hot dog in the back of the yard, right? And you chain him up. And, you know, one day you say, you know what? I got in the back of the cage, and I got to clean it. And what happened if you go in the cage and you open the cage and this dog was able to get it? What did the dog do? He get out and he break off running and he run around the whole entire block. There's no difference than an individual coming to prison who was not properly rehabilitated. And I guess our authorities don't understand. You know, they don't understand the dangers in this country. All right? They don't understand the different type of people living in the country. They think everyone is human. Everyone ain't human. All right? They might look like human, but you have a lot of demons walking around, okay? In human body who have no values, okay? In our streets, okay? That's why we have to clean up our streets, develop our communities, educate our kids, and try to reduce that type of mindset in our country. And the only approach to that is to get on the ground level and start to work from the bottom and educate and train our kids so they don't have that type of mindset. A lot of our young youths growing up in the community now has no future. The government itself has no direct plan for people living in inner-city communities. There are programs, but a lot of these programs are not going to be able to reach individuals because a lot of individuals out there are completely dead. It means they have given up on life. And all they do is just hang around in the streets. And they just do anything, time, so a couple dollars. And in that mindset, they would make crucial mistakes for a dollar. They would take an innocent life or go rob somebody for no particular reason, just because they can. And we have to find a way on how we're going to really impact these communities and how we could change their mindset. You know? But it's like I say, you know, when I look at it and I just read the newspapers, and you just read, and every day it's something else. A 12-year-old, what do you say now? A girl, 12, alleges mom's boyfriend raped her. See, again, this is just an allege, right? I want to remind mothers out there who have daughters and have sons, right? And you find a boyfriend. You can't trust everybody around your children because you don't know how these individuals could respond. So, no mothers, I know you want that love in your life and you want to go to work and you want to leave your daughter. Your 12-year-old daughter, she could be a nice figure daughter. And, you know, most guys, you know, they don't have no principle or no character. They would like the mom, but they look at the daughter and when the mom run, they'd make an advance on the daughter, you know. And you're too trustworthy, you know. You can't go around, just meet a guy, leaving your children, why should you go to work, you know? There are many decent guys out there who would never molest their girlfriends, daughter. In fact, some guys really take their child as their own, you know. But a 12-year-old girl, you got to be very careful as a mother, you know, to have your boyfriend around your 12-year-old or 13-year-old or 14-year-old daughter, you know. You know, because with our current values dropping in the country, you know, values means that, you know, we don't have no principle. You know, sleeping with the mom and sleeping with the daughter, you know, that's nasty, man, you know? That's nasty. And there's consequences for that, you know? Because it could damage your child, you know? So let me just read this quick. She said that, you know, say 12-year-old testifies man had sex with her while home alone in 2024. You know, she said a 12-year-old girl said that her mother's boyfriend removed her clothes and had sexual intercourse with her while they were home alone in 2021 as the defendant trial began. The complainant, whose name was being withheld, protect her identity, testified in a lawful sexual intercourse trial of Anthony Bain, 50, before Justice Leach Gomez. They alleged that Bain had several intercourse with the complainant when she was 11, while they were alone at home on William Street. So he was brought on up from his 11. He probably break in, you know. He's a 50-year-old man. She is going to need counseling. A 50-year-old man, you know, that's a lot of pressure, you know. And a 12-year-old man, I don't know. That's crazy. You could imagine a 50-year-old man, if this is true, and he penetrated this little young girl from a virgin, do you think she's going to have a good relationship with any other man? You know, she's damaged, right? She ain't even want no teenager. She can want a big man. As young as she is now, I'm not saying what the future holds, but she is damaged, you know, because anytime she reflects that her mom's boyfriend, 50 years old, she had sex with him 11 to 12, that means it's been, every mom goes old, he probably sleeping in there, do a couple of rounds with the young girl, you know what I mean? Probably tell her clean herself up, give her some pills, let her clean up herself so that she don't get pregnant, you know, and stuff like that, so she quickly mature, you know what I mean? And this is just one of the cases, you know, we have many cases like this around the country, you know, so boy, we're in some serious trouble in this country, boy. So what we do with something like that? You know, 12-year-old, 12 and 50, my God. Man ain't even have no conscience, you know. No morals. Should lost his hip in jail, if this is true. You know, and this is where the police does their job too. So, you know, they take the swap, the DNA testing and stuff like that, so they will know. So, like I said, the police does their job to a certain extent. It's just that we need checks and balances in places to make sure that, you know, we keep an eye on officers who have position and we see increase in their income, you know, their livelihood. And, you know, we need people to investigate them and help checks and balances because, you know, we have the office of checks and balances in place, you know. So, yeah. And, yeah, see again, that one incident. Then we have here. Teacher dies weeks after she was stabbed and choked. So listen to this now again. Same thing, same scenario, different people. A 60-year-old primary school teacher died in hospital on Monday, more than a month after she was reportedly stabbed in the throat by her attackers. Miss Julian Pindo, a 61-year-old mother and wife, had been in critical condition since June 4th, the day she was attacked. Police said at the time, the victim told investigators she had been attacked by two men She identified as individuals to whom someone close to her owed money. They reportedly stabbed her in the throat before fleeing the scene, the Tribune understands. Let me go to page three. Page three. Okay, where are you going on? Well, I guess I see this now. Okay. Avenue Home. Police have not publicly identified the motive in either case, and Ms. DeMarco acknowledged that authorities have not classified the death as hate crimes. However, she said the absence of legislation significantly recognizes base bias motive offenses made it difficult to determine whether. Man, it seems like the right thing, man. They're talking about the Marco. I don't know that Marco, man. This thing going, man. I didn't see it. The Marco. I'm the Marco. Okay, it's three. All right, see it, y'all. Okay. Well, they just said, yeah, this page three, yeah. The Marco. That she died in hospital on Monday. Her older sister, Ms. Raming, expressed grief over her death in a social media post and asked the community to keep the family in their prayers. This doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel fair. I keep hoping. I wake up and find, oh, this is all a terrible nightmare. The silence you left behind is deafening. Our hearts are shattered, Mrs. Raming wrote on Facebook. She said she would miss her more than words could express, adding that her memory would live with them forever. She also calls for justice. Lord, we are asking you for justice. We pray that you would reveal everything hidden in darkness. Give investigators, our family, us, or someone out there a sign, something that leads to the truth and to the person's responsible, she said. Her death also triggered reaction from our school community. Shanique Curry, principal at T.G. Glover, remembered Mrs. Spindle for her dedication, kindness, and commitment to students. As Cooper said, her loss would be deeply felt. Mrs. Spindle dedicated her life to shaping young minds and serving our nation through education. Her loss is deeply felt, not only by those who knew and loved her, but by one untimely educational family. The incident has pushed the country's murder count to 40 for the year, according to the Tribune. So we have a lot of bold people, you know, would come to your house and actually, you know, want to kill you, you know. That's how the bombers has come, you know. You know. You don't have to do, the innocent shall suffer the guilty, you know. You don't have to do nobody, none. They come to look at the individual. She probably tell them, you know, the individual's in here. And, you know, people trying to push your door in and blah, 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 all the anger. And, you know, you're going to react. And they stabbed her, you know. They stabbed her. And then, you know, she was in the hospital. And she said that she know these individuals, I think so. And they're looking for justice. Imagine that. So innocent, you know. What do you think? You don't think that's the waste of the waste? You know, you go to somebody's house, you know, where they live, their doorsteps, you know, where they're supposed to be safe. And for you to go to ask them with somebody and you tell them the individual's not there and they demand that, you know, this individual's here, they can think you're lying and then you try to tell them leave your property and then they kill you. So what you think? The penalty should be for those individuals, especially when you're home and, you know, these individuals come on your property. They come looking for you. So that's premeditated again. You know, like I say, boy, I don't know what we could do. All I can know, Mr. Fred Mitchell say, you know, that there's no curse on the Bahamas. Yeah, that's happening all over the world. Oxen happening all over the world. But there's a lot of things around the world that is telling us that, you know, God is near. Keep your heart in the right position. Don't continue to do wicked. Try change your ways. People is only think I'm going to save you. The sun is hotter than man. You feel the sun out there. People falling down dead, and it's the hardest it ever been in the history of the country, you know, in these last couple of years. So you don't think something is right. You don't think that someone is something or some entity is telling us something. Huh? Something ain't right. You know? Something ain't right in our country, you know, and be able to get it right. All right. President of the Christian Council, Mario Moxie, you know, and he talk about repentance. And as a man of God, Mr. Moxie, I'm very proud to see that you're speaking up, you know, and you stated as the minister, as the president of the Christian Council, you talk about repentance, and you said that the church needs to repent, you know, first, you know. We're asking the people to repent and the nation to repent. The church got to repent. Because he said, you know, we the church, many of us who put on this clerk have let down a lot of people in this country where people don't respect the church no more. And he also said that, you know, that they have led people astray from God. You know, that is true. You know, a lot of the pastors and stuff like that in this country have led a lot of the people away from God, because what we have been seeing from our pastors, the majority of them, you know, not all of them, again, just like the beliefs, but the majority of them are old shining and good. And instead of them really doing God's work, it seems that they're doing man work. And a lot of people see through that. So a lot of people are not even interested in hearing what these individuals have to say no more. If you notice, the popularity of the pastorism in the country has completely declined. You know, the Neil Ellison, Miles Monroe, all of them dead now. Ain't no pastor in this country gonna come up and be no more name run pastor in this country right now, like the big name pastors no more. All the Neil Ellison and all that Mario Moxie and all that, the late great Miles Monroe, or popular prime minister, or popular person like that in Obama's, like that. Unless you're righteous, you're not going to be recognized in this country, because everyone can see right now that there's sheep and wolf clothing in the country. And Mr. Moxie, you know, you speak elegant, you know, you criticize the church, you know, you let them know that we have let the behemoth people learn, because the people look up to you. But based on the pastors and, you know, see them on the PLB side and the FNM side, they're more for politics, or they're not speaking on what they need to speak on, what concerning the people, or they're not doing God's will, you know. So people have lost track, you know. And just like the Bible states that they're sheep and wolf clothing, many of the pastors, the people feel that they are wolf and sheep clothing, basically, and people are running away from God and leading people more into destruction. You understand? When the church is supposed to be bringing people to God, the church is running away people from God because of the ways and the actions of many of our pastors in the country. They ain't acting like pastors. They're acting like disasters, okay, in our country. Sorry to say it. It is true. Some of them have too much pride. They're not concerned about the people who they say they're supposed to be saving, you know. It's like they into they self, you know, fancy cars and bagels and all that stuff. Yeah, all those things come with it. You know, most of those are donations that people give to the church, to give to the poor. But a lot of these pastors, they take it with the gifts that their members and people they come in contact with. They take that and put it on their own bank account. And they take the supplies, what they're supposed to give the people, and take the best. And then they give the little scraps to the people. You know, they take all of the blessings that members and people who respect them give donations to them. You know, this has been going on for a long, long time. So I guess Mr. Moxie is talking about a lot of these things here as well, you know, and it's true. You know, it's true. The church most definitely, you know, has to repent before the nation can repent. Because the church is reflection on the nation, and the nation is reflection on the church. Okay? And right now, we need all hands on deck, you know? Because, like I say, you know, murders are not something going to stop because we're not really addressing it the way we're supposed to. And, like I say, a lot of people are calling for hanging. Like I say, I ain't too far unless we can hang on 20 a time. You know, I know that in some cases that we can. But at the same time, if we got to do this, I want us again explain why we hanging this individual and show the general public, show the kids, make it a national day and let them know that if they take this part, this one could happen to you as well. You understand? So if we're going to hang, let's hang that way. You know, not that I say we should hang, because I know that if we do what we're supposed to do in these communities, in the schools, and have the proper fundamental tools to change the mindset of the individuals born in our community from a baby, if we have the proper tools and the community centers, your small business, you know, we have the herb renewal, you know, we have the health department, you know, we have all the basic stuff that we need to take care of the residents in the community. And continue to build on that, to take away the mindset of the individuals, like who killed the teacher going to our house, and who killed the 59-year-old man to his house and then came to the spot that he was arrested. You know, that's the mindset we want to change. And the only way we're going to change that is if we put God first, and at the same time, empowerment in the community, and to also build up the family structure, you know? So I hope you guys enjoyed the show today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scooter or Scrooge, host of the show Inside the Inner City of Premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And like I say, we talk about enormous topics. And me just thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. God spell life. You know what I'm saying? But also, listen, people, put God first, yeah? There's a God out there. Let me leave this with you guys to think about. The guy in the plane crash, I think they said he ran a mile or two. And he was completely blind to recognition. Still, his friends still told him to pray. He prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. So to me, I feel he went in the astral world, and I think that he was received in the arms of Jesus Christ. You know, whatever we call him, you receive him. Because a man who, in that type of pain, and acknowledged God in that time, in that hour, most definitely, he is in heaven. So he sent a signal to us and a message to us to follow, okay? So good night, everyone, and see you next week on Inside the Inner City.
I humble think the lion sleeping, but they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season. Godless, I go weed them. I represent the ghetto people I'm from.
Nassau Bahamas, bigger meat and